the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. You're tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with David Dawson and Damian Collado. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, you had a good Mother's weekend? Day? Yeah, I'm asking you.
I had a great Mother's Day.
Yeah, we're not mothers.
Yes. I had a great Mother's Day, you guys. It was perfect weather, and I just was around my family, and it was great. I loved it.
Nice. Good. Get anything you didn't expect?
I just really got perfect weather. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. Okay. And I was at the beach all day.
If you got flowers or a gift that you didn't expect or something.
Sometimes you
get surprised on Mother's Day.
Well, and you know what? What I really wanted was just to spend time with my son and my husband, and that's exactly what I got.
Boom.
Well, good. All right. There it is. Very good.
And the weather today is really pretty too. I mean, here in Baton Rouge, I know you're going to get to that part though.
I'm
going to change. I can just tell by that look on your face. Well, get ready, pal.
It is going to change. Oh, but in the meantime, we always start out with a prayer. That's something we won't change. And today's the feast day of Saint Isidore the Farmer. So we're going to think of all our farmers out there who provide us with the good foods that we need in order to stay healthy. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty and eternal God, you created us in your image and called us to seek all that is good, true, and beautiful. Through the intercession of Saint Isidore, Bishop and Doctor, help us as we journey through this world. Direct our hands and our eyes only to that which is pleasing to you. Saint Isidore, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. We have a great show for you today, starting off with Michael Borg. He is the executive director over at St. Vincent de Paul in New Orleans, and they have an upcoming gala called 2023 Love and Service Award, and he's also going to update us on the wonderful things they're doing over at St. Vincent de Paul in the Crescent City. Deacon Ricky Supreme joins us in 18 minutes. He's a deacon over at St. John of the Cross in Lacombe, and we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit Novena, but today we're going to be talking about the wonderful lineup that you'll find at the Holy Spirit Novena. Looking forward to speaking to Deacon Ricky later on. In 35 minutes, Alan Migliorato joins us. He's a co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And every Monday, he talks about raising Catholic teens in today's world. It's always a fun conversation with Alan, so definitely stay tuned for that. And in 48 minutes, Dr. Larry Chapp joins us to talk about his book called Confession of a Catholic Worker, Our Moment of Christian Witness. As we head into our work day, our Monday today, whatever we are doing, this is a great interview to listen to later on in today's show. But like David said earlier today, Damian, looking forward to some wonderful weather this week.
Well,
and I'm definitely digging the warm weather.
We're looking forward to it, Damian.
Yeah, well, I'm
no
glad.
Pressure.
We're all looking forward to a great week of weather. And I tell you what, the one thing I have noticed are the sunrises are getting earlier and earlier.
Yes, indeed.
And it was a beautiful one today. Hopefully, you'll get out and enjoy it. Hopefully, you got to see it as well this morning. But clouds are going to be moving in, and you know what that means. When the clouds move in, it creates afternoon thunder showers, and we may get quite a few of those, 80% chance as a matter of fact, but they won't last long. By the time things cool down, so will the rain come to an end. Highs 90, that's the expected high for today. Low 69, tomorrow about the same, only a 35% chance of rain. That's nice. So temperatures in and around the area, everybody in the 70s right now. Over on the North Shore in Houma Thibodaux, it's 74, Gulfport 75, Baton Rouge 73 degrees, and in New Orleans it's 79. Right now, it's 5 after the hour on this Monday morning on Wake Up.
A good Monday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me, and you also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have told you this so that you may not fall away. They will expel you from the synagogues. In fact, the hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think he is offering worship to God. They will do this because they have not known either the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you."
Thank you, Father Chris Decker, for today's Gospel. It's 8 past the hour on Wake Up. Michael Borg now joins us. He is the Executive Director of St. Vincent de Paul Society in New Orleans. And today we're going to be talking about the upcoming 2023 Love and Service Award Gala. Good morning, Michael. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, good morning, Gabby. Thank you so much, and happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. I hope you had a great weekend, starting off with a great week over at St. Vincent de Paul in New Orleans. Tell our listeners a little bit about this wonderful award gala.
The awards gala is going to be on June 9th, and we're hosting it at Xavier University in New Orleans in the McCaffrey Ballroom. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful evening. We're honoring three incredible people. Miss Ethel Frazan, who's from Blessed Trinity Parish in New Orleans, Dr. Foster Hebert, who's from St. Genevieve Parish in Slidell, and our Top Hat Award, because Frederick Ozanam always wore his top hat when he was in service, is Laura Drews from Our Lady of Perpetual Help in Belshazz. So very, 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 very happy to be able to honor these people and to raise money so that we can be in service of the poor.
These awards are very specific to St. Vincent de Paul. How does one have the honor of receiving an award like this?
They are nominated from each of the local parish conferences. So we had several people nominated from across the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And then there's an awards committee that reviews all of these wonderful nominations, and it was a hard one this year, I have to say that. We had some great people. I mean, just these three people, you're looking at over 75 years of service to God and to His church and to the poor. You know, it's just, it's humbling.
It is humbling, and that's a long time as well, and of course so needed in the New Orleans area. So tell our listeners, is there a cost to attending the gala, which I would assume yes, and where do they need to go to register?
Sure. The cost is $100 a ticket, and they can go, everything is, you know, these days online, right? So the address is bidpal.net/SVDP Love Service 170. So that's SVDP, St. Vincent de Paul, Love Service 170. And the 170 is because we're also celebrating our 170th anniversary of working with God's Church here in the Archdiocese.
That's great. Well, I did post that link in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video for those that are driving or didn't get a chance to write that down. It's under the comment section on Wake Up Monday, like I said, on our Facebook page. Michael, let's get a little update on how St. Vincent de Paul in New Orleans is doing. Tell our listeners, because summertime is coming, do you need any volunteers? And if so, where do you need them?
Well, we always need more Vincentian volunteers, I will say that. We are in 32 parishes, and within those 32 parishes, they're all looking for new people to walk with us in this just incredible journey of visiting the poor and being with them. So there's that. We also have our Adult Learning Center, where we're always in need of tutors. And that's in our main office building that we have on Canal Street. And then we need people to help at our thrift store. So our thrift store is just a beautiful place where we give people who need and maybe struggle to get employment. We're in a neighborhood that needs lower cost things. But the other thing that our store does and that our volunteers help us to do is when people are rehoused, right? So the homeless who finally get placed somewhere, we go in with our truck, right? And we will take out, you know, they need a sofa, we put a sofa in the truck. They need tables and chairs, we'll put that in the truck. They need pots and pans or plates or knives and whatever they need when they're being rehoused. And we will bring that to their home. I mean, and we're not charging them anything. This is just taking it out of the stock that's been donated. So that's just another way people can help. You know, they can either donate stuff to the store so that we can get it back out to those folks. You know, there's just so many ways people can get involved. I urge them to just, you know, give us a call.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I'm thinking spring cleaning. A lot of times we go through our closet and we realize we don't wear half the stuff in our closet or, you know, different things around the house that we maybe don't use anymore. Are you accepting donations and what don't you accept?
We accept donations and I think housewares, furniture, and clothing. So we take all of that. And we repurpose it. We are the ultimate in recycler. You know, this stuff isn't going into landfills. It's going back out to people who need it, right? Mm-hmm.
That's great. I love that. Absolutely. Okay, one more time, Michael, tell us where we can go to find out more information about St. Vincent de Paul New Orleans and also about the 2023 Love and Service Award Gala.
Okay, just for St. Vincent de Paul, in general, go to svdpneworleans.org. And for the gala, you can go to bidpal.net/SVDP Love Service 170. I'm so thankful, Gabby. Thank you so much for having us on.
Thank you so much, Michael Borg, Executive Director over at St. Vincent de Paul, New Orleans. Thank you for all that you do for the community.
Oh, thank you, guys. Love the show. All right.
Thank you. Well, consider donating to St. Vincent de Paul. I remember one time I went in there and they're just so happy, you know, and I just wanted to see what it was all about, you know, because as kids, we would donate stuff to St. Vincent de Paul all the time.
Yeah.
But as an adult, you want to see kind of what's going on. You know, you guys just the workers
there. There's a lot of
joy there.
Yeah.
Joy.
Yes.
Yes. Definitely check that out and consider donating and helping out the St. Vincent de Paul Society in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, or wherever you live. You can check that out as well. Deacon Ricky Supreme joins us when we return from the break. It is 15 past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 15th. Today we celebrate St. Isidore the Farmer. Picture a lanky man hard at work in the fields, a contented, peaceful smile on his sunburned face. Meet St. Isidore, the patron of farmers, and the National Catholic Rural Life Conference. Born in Madrid, Spain in 1070, Isidore was destined to spend his days working on a farm he did not own. From an early age, he served as a field hand on the estate of a wealthy landowner who appreciated Isidore's hard work as well as his strong religious instincts. Some of Isidore's fellow workers were not so kindly disposed, however, and complained that he failed to put in a full day's work. In truth, Isidore started each morning with Mass and frequently prayed as he tilled the soil. His employer eventually concluded that the accusations of co-workers were without merit. Isidore and his wife, Maria de la Cabeza, also honored as a saint, were the parents of a son who died young. The couple became known for their generosity to the poor despite their own limited circumstances. The poor often followed Isidore home, where they were given food, often in more liberal portions than those enjoyed by the couple feeding them. Isidore died in 1130 and was canonized in 1622. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
18 past the hour. Welcome back to Wake Up. I'm David Dawson with Damian Calado and Gabby Smith. And today we're going to be talking to a deacon of St. John of the Cross in Lacombe, Mississippi, but more importantly, a real good family member and supporter of Catholic Community Radio, Deacon Ricky Supreme. Good morning, Deacon.
Good morning, David, but I'm in Lacombe, Louisiana.
What did I say?
Yes.
Did I say
Mississippi?
I said Mississippi. Well, you know what? Our signal gets up to Mississippi. So I headed you north, didn't I? Sorry about that. Well, welcome, welcome. It's good to have you here today. And we're going to be talking about your Holy Spirit Novena and Revival that's coming up on the 19th through the 27th of May. And we've been talking about it. We've been running spots on it and everything. But this is big. This is a big event, isn't it?
This is maybe the biggest yet. And yes. The momentum, the enthusiasm, it's unmatched compared to the... I mean, every year it's exciting building up to the Holy Spirit Novena. Mm-hmm. But this year, it seems like the Holy Spirit has taken his Novena to another level. And that's why we added Revival to the name.
Yeah.
And Father Sidney's promos on Catholic Community Radio are just amazing.
Yep.
And a couple of things on opening night that he didn't get to mention was that we're going to have a coffee shop following Mass on Friday, May 19th, this Friday coming,
okay.
You know, free of charge for everybody to come over and compare notes and stay on fire, but a free of charge coffee shop. Hopefully it'll attract a lot of young people and adults. And also another thing that's happened is that Jamie DiLiberto, who was part of the promotion, is with the music background.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that, but he has been so inspired. He's been inspired to write a special song called Holy Spirit Revival that he'll introduce on opening night, May 19th.
Wow.
At the Holy Spirit Novena and Revival. So the Holy Spirit is powerfully moving, that's for sure.
What a talent Jamie DiLiberto is. I mean, he is amazing. What a gift. There's a man who's got the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he's sharing it with other people. I'm seeing this schedule now, on your schedule here, that praise and worship and confessions begin at 6:30, right? And that's every day?
And we're going to bump that up to 6:15.
Okay.
It just seems like there's so much excitement, so many people saying they want to get there early,
yeah,
to get a good seat. And as we talked about before, we're going to have, obviously, indoor seating, but we also have the Knights of Columbus set up tents outdoors in case there's
good.
An overflow,
yeah,
or in case people would prefer to be out under the stars at night. But it's going to be with a big screen TV outside. Mm-hmm. The sacrament, the Eucharist, will be brought to the people outside. And we're hoping that it's going to, you know, really set people on fire.
Boy, that is great. So, really, we want to say 6:15. Go ahead and get there early. So, confessions will be offered then? Because sometimes there's a long line.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
It'll be 6:15, adoration, praise and worship,
right,
prayer teams. There's going to be a lot going on, but all under the reverence of praise and worship to God.
And Mass will begin at 7. Is that right?
At 7 each night.
And this is every night. Okay.
Every night,
okay.
And we're so blessed. This is our 7th year at St. John of the Cross, which is a perfect number,
yeah,
in our faith. And it's the 40th year on the North Shore that the North Shore has been allowed to host the Holy Spirit Novena.
Mm-hmm.
So we got some of the priests and music ministers have been so generous with their time and talent coming this year. It's almost like an all-star cast of people. It's been like Father Sidney, this will be his 6th year. Jamie DiLiberto and Tongues of Fire, their 7th year.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday night, Father Gil Martin, who gave us that yes to allow us to have the Holy Spirit Novena at St. John of the Cross, it'll be his 7th year. Donna Guidry and Sacred Heart Choir, they've been here every year. And then on Sunday, we got Father Tony Rigoli, who was with us from the very beginning.
Uh-huh.
And I think this will be his 5th year. And Steve Lee and Our Lady of Guadalupe Choir, another incredible choir, gets everybody involved in praise and worship on Sunday evening. I mean, tremendous group. If you'd always wanted to go to Our Lady of Guadalupe Church and you live on the North Shore, come to St. John of the Cross on Sunday night, and you'll get their pastor, Father Tony, and you'll get their choir with Steve Lee and Our Lady of Guadalupe Choir. And really get people
just
up and excited about praising God and receiving the Holy Spirit.
That's just for the weekend. We hadn't even started on the week yet, huh?
Right. That's one third of the nine night schedule of the Holy Spirit Novena.
All right. Let's talk about Monday.
Monday, it's kind of an unusual night. Father Thomas from our neighboring parish, pastor of Sacred Heart Church,
uh-huh,
he's in there every year as a confessor. You know, he does confessions every night, which has been invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be a celebrant this year, and this lowly deacon is going to be a homilist because yeah. they had five priests that night that said no. They couldn't make it.
Wow.
They wanted to make it. And the two other times this has happened, it was kind of like God giving me a sign that he wanted to speak through me that night. So that night, you're going to be stuck with the lowly deacon.
Yeah, people need to hear you.
Music minister with Lyndon Yuda.
Okay.
She's tremendous as well. And she's really, you know, she touches a lot of hearts, but especially the young people. She's a younger person, and she's tremendous with praise and worship as well.
Okay. Then you got Tuesday.
Well, Tuesday is incredible because Father Dan Dashner, who's parochial vicar at Most Holy Trinity, started off attending the Holy Spirit Novena as a deacon at our church,
mm-hmm.
then as a deacon from St. Genevieve, and now God has called him through the 7 years. He is now Father Dan Dashner. This will be his second year as a priest participating in the Holy Spirit Novena. Incredible story on that one. And the music will be from two more young ladies. These are even younger than Lyndon, Audrey and Emma St. Cyr, who are tremendous singers and musicians, still in high school at Slidell High.
Okay.
And they were with us last year and,
wow.
and really did a great job.
Okay, great. All right, and that's just Tuesday.
And,
so
on Wednesday, May 24th, yeah. we have a Catholic radio favorite and
yes,
a crowd
indeed.
Favorite, wherever he goes, Father Mark Beard.
Mm-hmm.
And if...
You want to get lit on fire.
You want to hear
yeah.
him again and again and again.
Yeah.
This will save you a trip all the way to a meet, which I don't mind the ride to go hear Father Mark Beard. But he'll be at St. John of the Cross on Wednesday, May 24th. This will be his fourth year as part of our Holy Spirit Novena. And he'll be with Colin McIver, an outstanding praise and worship leader who has been with us all 7 years mm-hmm. Since we began. He was nice enough to trust us. Trust God, actually, and take a chance, and he's been with us every year.
All right, then you got another
and
heavy hitter coming
trust,
on Thursday. Yeah,
this is the ultimate trust, and you got Archbishop Gregory Amon, who said yes 7 years ago and has made it every year for seven consecutive years.
Wow!
To be part of our Holy Spirit Novena, we're so excited to have Archbishop Amon with us again, and he's going to be with John Finch. He's part of the Vigil Project, but also ventures out on his own. And he is an international, Catholic singer. In fact, last year, right after the Holy Spirit Novena, we had raised some money, and he got to go to Abbey Road tape an album with the Vigil Project.
Really?
At Abbey Road,
yeah.
obviously where the Beatles recorded most of their famous stuff.
Yeah.
So he's an international, again, so humbling that would have John Finch. I think it's his fifth year coming. He always makes time to be part of the Holy Spirit Novena.
He is so amazing. What a talent
he is.
I mean, you really got some incredible people coming for these days. All right, so Friday. We're chock-a-block here. What do you got on Friday?
Friday, the thing that keeps building, only the Holy Spirit can keep making every night more powerful than the night before, but mm-hmm. we got Father Anthony Odeong from St. Anthony of Padua and Luling and mm-hmm. his healing team. This will be about 40 people coming from Luling to pray over people, to pray with people. But before that happens, we got another group. This will be their fifth year with us. Five relatively young adults, Bauer, Brewer, Rhodes, St. Cyr, and Schneido. And they are incredible. They'll start around 6:15, and they'll continue to lead us in praise and worship until the last person is prayed over during the healing service following Mass.
So it's not...
Never run out. They are so filled with the Holy Spirit, they can just keep on bringing the praise and worship songs, and it just seems like they get better. Each song builds on the song before, and so they'll lead us in praise and worship, lead us throughout Mass, and then they'll be providing the praise and worship as Father and his team of praying over everyone who comes that night.
Wow. So not Crosby, Stills, and Nash, but Bauer, Brewer, Rhodes, St. Cyr, and Schneider.
I love it.
That okay, gotcha.
We
okay.
got one more than Crosby, Stills, and Nash. We outdid them by
there
one.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did, and it probably sounds a lot better, too. All right, and then you got Saturday. Let's close it up. What do you got on Saturday?
Well, on Saturday, we have our pastor, Father Tuan Pham,
mm-hmm.
and when he came in, again, the pastor has to... We have to receive that yes from our pastor.
Yep.
He trusted us enough to say, yes, let's do it. he's been incredible. Every year on his night, he really people just fall in love with him. He usually, I don't want to put pressure on him, but he normally brings his guitar out during the homily, and he's really a great musician in his own right. And also we have our choir, who steps it up. All three, you know, mass choirs come together.
Okay.
And Vince Domina is the leader, and they really get people rocking before mass. And we ended up with our own pastor and our own choir. And, of course, Father Twan's been part of this for 4 years now, and Vince has been a part of it for, I think this is 6 years. But even when the 70, he would come and sing the Holy Spirit song as part of the novena itself. The novena is intertwined through the mass, and so at the end of mass you've already done the Holy Spirit novena.
Yes, indeed.
And you've had mass and received communion, and it's beautifully, you know, laid out.
Well, Deacon Ricky,
way of doing it.
thank you. That's the whole everything somewhat in a nutshell. That's May 19th through the 27th. Thank you, Ricky. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, David, so much.
All right, God bless. We come back with Alan Migliorato on Wake Up.
Monday, everyone. It's 35 after the hour. Get up, get going, and welcome to Wake Up. Damian Collado, Gabby Smith, David Dawson. And I want to give a quick shout out in the Catholic High School Baseball Championship.
Yeah.
State title game. Jesuit beat Rummel 1-0 thanks to the fourth inning RBI single by Patrick Berrigan. And who knew that one run would be the outcome of the game?
That's
it was
good
a pitcher's
pitching duel.
Yeah. LSU could use some of those guys, I can assure you.
Amen.
I can't get them quick enough. I'll just leave it at that. But the Blue Jays have now won two state titles in the last 3 years. Catholic High of Baton Rouge winning it last year, of course. And it's their 22nd state baseball championship.
Wow. Okay, Jesuit.
Wow, that's a lot.
Those young men know how to play baseball.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if our own Vince Liberto was ever a baseball player.
You listening, Vince?
He's going to let us know. But in the meantime, here's a guy who's played sports, I can assure you, Big Al Migliorato. He's co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And today we're going to be talking about some lessons hopefully some young people can learn. Hopefully the parents tuning in as well can pick up some pointers here. Right, Al?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to be here.
Yeah, so what can teens do this summer to stay active and out of trouble?
Oh, put the phone down and get outside with the lawnmower. Honestly, like,
yes.
I think finding a job during the summer, even I did this mm-hmm. since, I mean, honestly, I can't remember how young I was, probably 11 or 12, just going around and seeing if neighbors needed anything done. I remember pulling a whole stump, this huge pine tree stump, out of this lady's yard.
Wow.
And, I mean, it took me all day long, and she paid me, like, $10. But, you know, like, back then, you know, of course that you could have bought a car and five loaves of bread with $10. You know, everybody's thinking.
Yep.
But I think it really helps kids, like, earn responsibility. Like, earn responsibility, not just throwing it at them, but they earn it. And there's a sense of, you know, of value for them.
Yes, I agree.
Being exposed to new duties, you know, working with other people, accepting feedback, learning how to get that criticism, that constructive criticism, and being responsible helps form our kids into young adults. And that's so important because we can't start right when they leave for college trying to form them into young adults.
No,
it starts when they're younger.
Yeah, because, you know, I think a lot of kids have become what they call cocooning, where they just stay in their own little cocoon and they don't know what's going on out there.
With their phones and everything. Yeah,
yes. Yeah. All right. And even if they don't have their phones, they're just stuck in front of the tube. Whatever the case may be, they need to get out there and socialize as quickly as possible. And I agree with you. Interacting with other people and doing something in a form of a transaction is a good thing. And there are a lot of summer jobs out there for teens, even because everything I'm hearing, jobs are available. It's just people don't want to work.
You know, it really has changed a lot since we were younger. My daughter right now is home from college. And I told her, I said, you have 5 days, you know, to find a job or you're sleeping on the roof. And I'm joking with her, but like, you need to find a job. She's like, no, I'm looking. I said, what are you doing? She said, well, I'm applying online. Now, that's changed, right? Because
yes.
What we used to do is kind of walk in somewhere and say, hey, are you guys hiring? I'd like to fill out an application. Can I speak with the manager? Is there a better time for me to come back? All those kind of things we used to do. You can still do those, but a lot of times they won't even look at you unless you've applied online. And that's kind of frustrating sometimes because that cycle can take weeks and weeks for them to even get your resume. So I say it's, you know, like a por qué no las dos, you know, like we got to do both of these things. It's a Catholic thing, right? Both and. So you apply online and then you go and follow up in person, like make it happen. This is another way is like not giving your kids money during the summer just to sit around. Like if they're not going to work, then there's some chores that need to get done, and there's some, you know, like the lawn needs to get done. You need help with the dishes. Like, that'll get them out of the house quicker than anything else. So I say, you know, if they want to gain independence, and that's one thing that kids always want. I want more independence. I want more trust. The summer job's a great way for them to become more independent, both financially and all around, right? Because earning their own money gives them a sense of value, what they're spending thing and what things cost, and spending freedom. This gives them an opportunity to earn some habits or create some habits that they can start saving money and learning the value of what it is that when they ask for something, hey, can I have that new video game? Well, it's $400. Okay, well, what's the problem? Well, think about how long it took you to earn $400. You know, that's 40 hours at $10 an hour, and not with the taxes coming out. So that's like 180 hours of work, you know. Yeah. So that's something that they've got to learn. You know, there's value.
Value, self-worth, as well as finding a purpose. Quite often, you as a teen, you may stumble across something that could turn into a career, could actually be your vocation, because there are different types of jobs, trade jobs, that as a young teen, you could pick up, and next thing you know, you love doing it. I'm thinking in the form of construction, for one. The other thing is landscaping. You know, might start out cutting lawns, and the next thing you know, you want to become a landscaper.
If a young man comes to my house, and I see he's like in his teens, he's in high school, and he says, can I cut your yard? I'm gonna invest in that young man. Mm-hmm. For one thing, he had the gumption to come to my house and ask, could he work for me? I'm gonna hire him because I have a feeling he's going to continue that down the street with some other neighbors, you know, and that's
so
worth investing in.
Go to Dave's house. That's where you'll find employment.
I'm hiring.
Well,
yes.
and I think a lot of people think that way, Dave.
Yeah.
And not only that, you have young people, teens, who want to travel. One way to do that is in the first half of the summer, earn your travel money, and then go travel, right, Alan? Nobody's saying you just become a slave to the workforce. It's the payoff that really counts, as you were getting at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want to teach our teens how to build some confidence, you know, and we can't give them confidence. They've got to earn confidence, but we've got to provide opportunities. You know, I have a sign company in Orlando. I make signs and do vehicle lettering and all kinds of trade show displays. And a couple of the customers that I have, you know, started their jobs as teenagers, like landscaping. But I saw an interesting one the other day. The guy had a lemonade stand, and I was like, okay, you know, that's kind of creepy, you know, 30-year-old guy. So, but I mean, I talked to him about it. He's like, yeah, he's like, I've got 20 of these stands. He's like, I got them all over it, like all over at events and colleges. And I'm like, oh my gosh,
wow.
This guy's rolling in money because he started a lemonade stand when he was a teenager at the end of his driveway. And it just became really, he made his own lemonade, but it became really popular. Mm-hmm. Now he's thinking about franchising it. And I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do.
Wow.
It doesn't have to be a manual labor kind of thing. You can even find something online. You might be able to start, you know, like some kind of graphic company or whatever it is, but get out and try. Try. Don't be afraid to try.
Young people are learning graphic arts in school on a daily basis now. And so you nailed it. You could be a graphic designer. I mean, you could even be a dog walker. I made a list of different things that teens could do. We touched on some of them. Hell, be a pool person where you clean a pool and then jump in it after it's over with to cool off.
Huh.
Camp counselor. Huh. You could work. Hey, we haven't mentioned this one, but whatever happened to working at McDonald's or Chick-fil-A or someplace like that?
That's what I was going to say, fast food. And Damien, a lot of these places always, not always, but a lot of them now offer college scholarships. So they'll pay for you to go to college. If you work, like Walmart does that. I know that Sherwin-Williams, a paint store, does that. Helped one of my family members get through LSU.
Alan,
so
I don't know if you have it in your neck of the woods, Alan, but I'm seeing we're hiring signs everywhere.
No, people are definitely hiring. The thing is, you know, when parents hand things to their kids, we create this sense of entitlement in our teens that they don't get rid of. you know, and we're going to have 30-year-olds, 35-year-olds living on our couches if we don't start teaching them how to start, you know, forming some kind of a value network inside themselves. Mm-hmm. And they've got to learn that by earning it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, one thing they can do is learn a lot more about summer jobs, what to do with your teens day in and day out. All they have to do is go to AdventureCatholic.com. Alan, any final words in the final 30 seconds?
No. God bless you guys. All my wisdom is already gone, man. Like, it's a longer time. My wisdom comes out in the beginning, and then I just listen to y'all.
Well, I wasn't trying to put you on the spot. I just thought you might have one little nugget left that you didn't get to share, but we're glad you did. All right, there you go.
Put the kid work.
Don't let them sleep in and sleep all day long and play video games all day long. Okay, yeah, there's a lot to learn out there in that world. And don't go too far. We've got more to teach you here on Wake Up. It's 45 after the hour.
It is 48 past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up This Morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. All of the information you can find from today's show is in the comment section for our Facebook Live video for today. That is Wake Up Monday. Our next guest is Dr. Larry Chapp. Today he joins us to talk about his book called Confession of a Catholic Worker, Our Moment of Christian Witness. Good morning, Dr. Chapp. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about your book, Confession of a Catholic Worker, Our Moment of Christian Witness.
Well, it's a combination of a couple things. First, I am a theologian, and my devotion to the theology that really kind of inspired Popes Benedict and John Paul, and bringing that together with my great love for the founder of the Catholic Worker Movement, Dorothy Day, and her cohort, Peter Morin. And the main point of the book is that we live in crisis times, culturally speaking, a crisis that has affected the church as well, and that we need, as Christians, to prepare ourselves for the cultural tsunami that is currently waving over us, and that the only way we're going to survive this tsunami is to become ever more profound disciples of Christ. In other words, halfway house Catholicism with one foot in the secular world, one foot hedging your bets in the religion world isn't going to work anymore. Huh. You're either going to be a serious Catholic, or you're not going to be a Catholic at all.
Wow.
Amen.
Hmm. Yes.
So when you mean cultural tsunami, what is your definition of that?
Well, simply that our culture is spinning out of control in the direction of an utterly godless, atheistic direction that is now very anti-Christian. I mean, we've reached a cultural point where you can't even say, hey, Happy Mother's Day, which was yesterday, right, without triggering somebody because, oh, well, men can be mothers too, you know, which of course represents the loss of our minds,
yes,
as well as our souls.
Right.
Yeah, I understand
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for defining that. Can you tell us a little bit more about what was your inspiration behind writing a book like this, and how did you acquire your research?
Well, the main inspiration was my life as 20 years spent as a theology professor and teaching typical undergraduates from a wide cross-section, and then getting all kinds of encouragement from former students and friends, now that we own a Catholic worker farm, and they would visit to put my theological insights into writing, which I did. I have a blog, GaudiumetSpes22.com, which is GaudiumetSpes is a Vatican II document. And that then morphed into essentially this book, where most of what I was writing on the blog now shows up in the book as this challenge, this profound challenge to all, myself included, to live more deeply Catholic, devout lives, both morally and spiritually, mm-hmm, and to educate ourselves as Catholics in order to survive. You know, it's in some ways similar to Rod Dreher's book, The Benedict Option, if your listeners are familiar with that, you know, that we need to once again take on the coloration of real disciples of Christ, or we're going to perish.
We have to stand our ground. I mean, is what it's sounding like. And, you know, getting back to what you were saying about the culture, you know, just going through the news, every now and then I go through, and it always comes in my head, what have we become? Right? Mm-hmm. It's just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, and we need to stand our ground in what we believe in as well. There's also a crisis in our church as well. We can't deny that. We can't just point fingers and say it's all the culture. There's a crisis in our church too. There's division in our church amongst many groups as well that we have to address and come to a reality with. But, I mean, tell us, it's just how can we be authentically Catholic when the world is moving toward a different direction?
Well, that's going to be harder and harder. I would say, first and foremost, we need to educate ourselves. I think the days are long since past when we can, as an adult Catholic, say a lot of Catholics out there with even college degrees, we can have a college level knowledge of every other subject in the universe, and yet we continue to have a fifth grade knowledge at best of our own faith. Mm-hmm. We need to be educated Catholics in our own faith as well. Mm-hmm. So, and there is just a wealth of resources out there now, online, you know, for Word on Fire, other online mm-hmm. resources to educate yourself as a Catholic. The second thing, of course, is to pray and to develop mm-hmm. a serious internal spiritual conversation with God, a serious internal spiritual life, so that your faith isn't simply worn lightly on your sleeve as a lifestyle accessory, but something that truly informs your soul and your outlook on life. So educate yourself and pray. And then try to, avoid many of the entrapments of our culture. Like, I would never, ever give my child a smartphone. That's just one little tiny thing. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Just don't give your child a smartphone. That's mm-hmm. insane. That, and when by child, I mean, I see 10-year-old kids walking around with iPhones.
Right.
Yeah. Or, and I think that's just begging for disaster.
Well, we live in a different world today, and I think things are a little bit different, but having that conversation, instead of maybe laughing or commenting about how people's lives are a little bit different than ours or a different way of life, maybe leading by example on how Christ led and being those authentic, good Catholic Christians that we are called to be, leading by example, praying, just like you mentioned, Dr. Chapp, are good ways on how we can continue to maybe change the world around us and say, you know, be Christ-like as well, but also educate and not be our head in the ground and saying we're going to ignore everything around us.
Right.
We have to be realistic. And that's exactly what you point out in this book as well, Dr. Chapp. So thank you so much for that.
Yes.
Where can we go to pick up a copy of your book, Confession of a Catholic Worker, Our Moment of Christian Witness?
Well, it's published by Ignatius Press, so you can go to ignatiuspress.com or you can go to amazon.com. It'll be in both places.
Thank you so much, Dr. Chapp, for being with us. It's just getting crazier and crazier.
It is.
So thank you for addressing a lot of these issues. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, you know, and this is a difficult conversation to have as parents, especially those with young children.
Sure.
I agree that I think I have a lot of disagreements with those comments. We live in a different world today, but we have to educate our children and be honest with them and tell them what's going on in our world today and not keep them in a bubble. We don't live in a safe environment anymore. So I think that as parents, we have to do our job, especially when it comes to smartphones and internet and everything like that, and what's going on in our church today, but teach them how to be good Catholics and good people in our world and responsible adults as they continue to grow.
I mean, the challenge is going to get more and more. And I think what he was talking about as far as electronic devices and everything is they're becoming saturated and they have all kind of ways of getting to your kids and they're gonna, you know. So,
yes, they are.
So
Yeah, but as millennial parents and Gen Zs who are growing up and becoming parents, we know how it is. So we have that responsibility to educate our children saying, we know what you're seeing because we have the phones and we have that. We were the guinea pigs of the cell phone generation. So we have that responsibility to step up and educate our children, but also be aware of the many apps and trends that you're going to find on a smartphone because it's never going to stop. It's never going to end.
It's never going to stop.
There's always going to be the
sometimes those parents need education first.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
You know, I think we're lacking obedience and discipline.
I mean, it is myself. The very thing he 100%. Said.
In our society.
We can't just be lukewarm Catholics now.
No.
We have really got to step up our game.
And we have to form those adults.
Well, that's what we're trying to do here at Catholic Community Radio.
Amen.
And we are so glad you were with us today. Hopefully you did learn something. We'll close in a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, I offer you my whole self, my thoughts, desires, decisions, actions, hopes, fears, weaknesses, failures, and petty successes. I open my entire being to you, aware that you know everything already. I'm certain of your mercy and of your purifying power, of your penetrating, loving gaze. Let me learn to love you more and more each day, and to be obedient in doing your will. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.